The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider. All right, Ira, you got to give me this last one before we get to Rich Reddy. We got another suggestion for the Spartan branding idea, right? Again, we're trying to help them lean into the doo-doo on a stick look, right? They look like doo-doo on a stick. Lean into that identity. What could they help sell? What could their branding power? What product could they move? We got another suggestion.
This one came from JJ Mile, and he said, how about Spartans, as in depends, for when your team craps their drawers before, during, and after the game? Not bad. Not bad.
All right. Let's go ahead now and turn our attention to the Townie Top 3 with our good friend Richard Reddy from the Ann Arbor District Library. Rich, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great. This has been a very entertaining last half hour or so listening. I'm learning so much in the ways of marketing and creative marketing and turning turning a negative into a positive. I think this is a masterclass. This is some raw school of business stuff. So, I don't know. I think you might have opportunity to maybe teach a class in the winter now. This is your audition tape for that. So I think, yeah. I've written everything. I've just been writing things down on napkins.
Yeah, future theme for the Townie Top 3 classes that Sam Well will be future teaching in the future at the University of Michigan.
I'm just trying to help out the Spartans, man. I mean, you know, I understand these are tough times.
Early in the week, Sam is helpful. Late in the week, Sam is all smack talk.
Hey, that was not smack talk what I just did. That was trying to help out. Rich, so before we get into the Townie Top 3, let's tell folks about the Ann Arbor District Library and how people can engage with all of the offerings that you guys have there at AADL and AADL.org.
Yeah, we want everybody to know that you've got this amazing library here for you. Whether or not we are in a global pandemic, we have 5 locations throughout the city. AADL.org for all the information. You can still request your books and your movies and your music and your tools like musical instruments and sewing machines and all that. Still request those. Pick those up contactless in the lobbies. Then we've got music streaming, movie streaming. We've got AADL TV, which is tons of events. You have access to the New York Times online through having a library card, through all these thousands of classes on arts and crafts, genealogy databases, consumer reports. We have everything. So much. And if you live within the Ann Arbor Public School District, your taxes are already paying for this. So use your library. Come get a card, AADL.org. You don't even have to come in to get one. And just check things out and promise it is worth your time.
Okay. All right. And so you have been coming on for a long time now, Rich, doing something called the Townie Top 3. So for those who aren't familiar with it, tell them what the Townie Top 3 is all about.
It's a great excuse to talk about some things topical, some things not, that link back to the library, or just to give information, because that's another part of what the library offers is interesting spaces, connections, ways to open up information, and that's what I'm about. Some of it's history, some of it's creative, some of it would be marketing ideas, which I didn't realize might be on the table. This week I decided to dig in a little on the history side with Michigan games on Halloween. So I wanted to talk about Michigan's history of games on Halloween, and then at the end I want to talk a little bit about Halloween costumes and some of the greatest and worst costumes that that you and Ira have worn throughout your storied careers as costumed Halloweeners.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay, so Halloween day games is a special thing. Not since Michigan hosted Northwestern in 1987 have the Wolverines played at home on Halloween. And nobody's going to be allowed in the stadium, So this will be a little bit different. But let me run you through the last five games, last five Halloween games. One in particular that I remember, but I think these will all bring out memories from people from the spooky to the – none of these games were blowouts except this one, 1987. That's the last time Michigan was home for Halloween. They beat Northwestern in 1987, 29-6, but I could not find a box score, and I could not – I did not have the time to watch the 12-minute segment of Michigan Replay that was on YouTube of Bo and, oh, my gosh, Jim Brandstatter, the young Jim Brandstatter when he could get it, was interviewing Bo. And so that's something you can find online if you want to learn more about that 29-6 drubbing of Northwestern. So that was the last time they were home
back
for
Northwestern
Halloween.
Northwestern was terrible in our childhood, Rich.
They were, I think bad. You said doo-doo on a stick? That would be, they went, they had two wins that year and a tie. So Northwestern was not good.
All right.
Then 1992. So Michigan goes to Purdue and beats Purdue in West Lafayette 24-17. Michigan's undefeated. They're number three that year. They trailed by 10 at the half. But Elvis Gerbach threw two TDs. And running back Jesse Johnson had to come in for Tyrone Wheatley, who got hurt. And he gained 118 yards and scored a TD in basically one half of football. So Michigan remained undefeated in 92 with a close one at West Lafayette. Here's another close game, Michigan at Minnesota in 1998. It's a 15-10 slobberknocker. It's tied 10-10 at the half. Nobody can score in the third. Then the Wolverines sack the Gopher QB in the end zone with 10 minutes left to go up 12-10, and then they tack on a field goal to make it 15-10. They beat Minnesota in 1998. Okay, here's the one that led to me, the only time I ever swore on the radio was when I was talking about this game. Was in 2009, Michigan traveling to Champaign. It's the second year of Rich Rod's tenure. They win this game, they make a bowl game. So they lead 13-7 at the half, and then Juice Williams and the Illini, they get more than 500 yards of offense. They score 29 unanswered points, and they win 38-13. The stats are crazy. Juice threw for 123, and he rushed for 97. But two other Illinois running backs went for 150 and 128.
Was one of them Rashard Mendenhall, if I'm not mistaken?
No, it wasn't. It was two other dudes that didn't feel like writing down. No.
Okay.
Now, I remember a play that set this whole thing in motion where I blamed it on Brandon Miner, and it was actually Carlos Brown. And Carlos Brown broke this really, really long run, and he was so close to scoring, and he got pulled down, like, right at the goal line. And then Michigan couldn't score, and that sort of turned the game. And it was, yeah, I was there. That was the only one that I've been present at. Wasn't a great trip back from Champaign. So that's 2009.
Yeah, man.
Okay. The last time Michigan played on Halloween was at Minnesota. And again, this is a super close one that you might remember, 29-26 in 2015. This is just 1 week after MSU pulled one out of their derriere on that punt play. So Michigan had that in the back of their minds. Jake Rudock gets knocked out of this game. So Wilton Spate comes in. He throws a TD to J.U. Chesson with 5 minutes left. And then the Wolverines stop that goal line stand. That's where the Gophers are not going to tie. They're going for the win. And Michigan stops them on the goal line. 29-26 they win. And that's the last Halloween game.
I had to go back. I had to go back and look, Rich. It was Mikel LeSure, former Lion Mikel LeSure. You remember him?
Yeah, I don't.
He was the guy that went for a $150. Anyone was one of those pro backs. Rashard Mendenhall was the guy who graduated the year before. And then Mikel LeSure, after Illinois had lost the previous Illinois winning that game, Rich, they were 1-6.
Yeah, they
were
not good.
1-16. And Michigan, oh, just good grief. Why are you doing this to us this morning, Rich?
Wait, they're all good. All the rest of them are good. hang on. Don't have that mentality. Don't have that green white mentality in your head. Come on. There's four or five were really great. We're close ones. So all I'm saying is, Halloween's can be a little spooky, but usually the Wolverines pull it off. And so we'll see what happens this Saturday. Sounds like you're not super worried, which is good.
No.
But what are you going to wear during the Zoom, Sam? What is your costume? Because you have to be costumed while you're on doing the pregame show.
I wasn't planning on it, actually. I wasn't planning on wearing a costume. But what was maybe my best costume from childhood? I was Freddy Krueger one year. Had the sweater and like some dried up Jello on my face. So it worked.
What did you do for the claws? What was your claw solution?
There's some cardboard covered with aluminum foil and attached with some tape to like a regular glove.
Nice.
It was that one did. That part was crude. I like to highlight the Jello face. It actually was crinkly. It was, you know, it looked like some burns to me anyway as a kid.
That's good. I once did not for Halloween, but I was Freddy Krueger once, and I did sharpened pencil crayons on my fingers. So dumb. And I mistakenly had a sleepover. I mistakenly stabbed my friend in the cheek. It's a whole thing. It was really dumb.
My joy now is maybe my wife will let me get away with it, but I used to have when Aaron was young, I had a monster mask, and there was one year. I hope I didn't scar him for life, but I scared him. You're supposed to scare kids on Halloween, right? Right? I mean,
sure.
I'm just, you know.
Not into therapy, but just like scare him a little, yeah.
I figure ages 1 to 7 are the years where you could really get them. Maybe 8. And I think it's fair game if it's just one time a year where you just, you jump from behind their beds after they say their prayers at night. Like they get down, they say their prayers. As they get up to get in the bed, you jump from behind the bed with a monster mask. Can't you do that just one time a year?
One time a year between ages 1 and 7. There are other units that you have that are looking at teaching appointments for you now. The psychology department, child development department.
That's only on Halloween, Rich. Only on Halloween, man.
But Sam, remember, there's no trick or treating, really. You know, you're not going to really want people coming to your door consistently. So put your Mark D'Antonio costume away for this year. You don't have to stare the kids that way this year. It's not going to work.
I hear you. All right. So you had a night costume, Rich? Is that what you said?
Oh, it was wonderful. My mom spent weeks making this articulated cardboard spray painted silver costume. That it was like a suit of armor and a shield and a sword and a helmet, and I looked great. And then I went trick-or-treating with my neighbor, who is dressed up like a vampire, and he basically had nothing. He was just wearing clothes with a cape, and he wanted to run from house to house, which I was fine to do, except this poor cardboard thing, like, it did not move like that. And so it lasted 2 houses. Before, like, all the little joints and things just started coming apart. And it was like the scene in Forrest Gump where he runs and the braces just bust off his legs. Like, I was just shedding armor all over. And I had to go back home crying to get a new costume because I had ruined this costume that my mom made. But guess whose fault it was? It wasn't my fault. It was my poor mom's fault, right? Because you're a kid and you're like, I can't be out there trick-or-treating. And this scars me a little. All the things that terrible kids.
You talk about scars. You want to talk about scars? How many people had the experience of getting robbed for their bag growing up? People think that's just a lyric. And my mind's playing tricks on me.
We used to hide from the big kids.
Exactly.
I never got caught,
that used to happen. The big kids used to steal our bags, man.
Yeah.
That was a real thing growing up. So. And not a fun. You talk about scaring a kid for life, scaring a kid after he says his prayers and gets ready to get in bed. That's okay. Robbing a kid for a bag, that's not okay, Rich. Because that happened.
As soon as there was the age that you're old enough to go trick-or-treating by yourself without a parent, that you have escape plans. Like, you have a meet-up place. Like, if we get chased by the bullies, we're going to meet up over at the elephant tree, like, and we're just going to scatter because we're not giving up our candy. I'll fight to the right. death. I'm like a mama badger with my baby badgers behind me, my nougat-filled baby badgers. You're not taking my babies. So, but it never actually happened. I never actually got robbed, which was nice.
All right. Any other costumes?
Ira, what did you? Well, okay. I got a bunch. I want to hear Ira's costumes. I want to hear about like some successful, awesome costumes that Ira had.
So when I was a kid, one of my favorites had to be the Lone Ranger. Love putting on the mask, get the sidewind, you know, the guns on both sides. A big fan of that. I mean, we all had the scars of wearing those ridiculously cheap plastic masks and plastic suits that go along with them. I honestly don't remember all the ones that I had, but I know I had them. But honestly, my favorite costume I think I've ever worn, it was last year because I was able to convince Grace to, now she was still a princess, but I got her to get away from the princesses she's used to dressing up as. And I convinced her that if she dressed up as Princess Leia, that I would dress up as Darth Vader. So last year we went around trick-or-treating. I was in a Darth Vader suit, relatively speaking, and she was in a Princess Leia costume, and she still loves wearing that costume. So I feel like that was my winning Halloween costume in life to this point. And to that point, she's not a princess again this year, so I think I'm winning 2 years in a row.
Good work. That's a good Paris costume. That's solid. I think my most successful
I'm going to go
costume,
with the monster scaring the kid again this year. I think I'm going to go with that, Rich.
Yes.
That's fine.
Is it just,
you got to compliment me, too. That's a good pair
you
of costumes.
You got to rely on that mask? I mean, Ira just told a story about coordinating costumes with his kid, and you told a story about hiding behind a bed until a 1 to 7-year-old finishes talking to God, and then you spring out. And yell whatever you yell, and put that kid in therapy. Those are the two. Those are my choices here about who I'm going to praise.
Sam wins. I admit, Sam wins.
Hey, that's one time a year, man. One time a year. And my wife hasn't divorced me yet, so there you go.
That's good. Perfect.
All right.
Okay.
Any more, Rich, before we tell people about AADL.org?
No, just everybody. Dress up, stay safe, have fun. Those are my one time a year.
I hear you.
There you go.
I hear you. All right. So Rich, I mean, the people are certainly in these times looking for different ways for their different things for their children to engage in, different things to engage in themselves. You guys offer so many options at AADL.org. If you can fill in the listening audience one more time.
Yeah. So one thing that I think parents especially might be looking for that they haven't been able to have before, you used to be able to go into the library, pick out a bunch of books for your kids. If you've got younger readers that are into space or dinosaurs or princesses or Pokemon, whatever, you could just walk in and grab them. Now, since you can't browse, and sometimes it's hard to go through the catalog and find books like that, we have something called Shelf Service. So you can visit adl.org/shelf-service. Just ask us to pull a bunch of books around a particular topic. So again, if your kid is really into space, just say, I have a 5 to 8-year-old reader. They're really into space. Can you pull some books? And we will pull a bunch of books, put them in a bag, and you can come pick them up. It's an easy way to get stuff like that. I know my kids here really into Sonic now, Sonic the Hedgehog. We've got some Pokemon love here. So you can just request that. They'll put it in a bag, put it out for you to pick up. Contactless pickup. You don't have to talk to anybody or see anybody. So AADL.org, check out everything. AADL.org/shelf-service. For this particular thing.
Man, Rich, it's always a pleasure. You always, always, always make us laugh. And sometimes you lighten the mood. Today you just continue the mood. It's kind of.
Oh, the mood is great, you know, this morning.
Feeling. Yeah, kind of feeling that we already had going this hour. So we appreciate you for carrying it over, man. AADL.org. Again, AADL.org. Rich, until next week, man, stay safe. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yes. Take care, guys. Love you.
All right. That was Richard Reddy, who didn't seem to be a big fan of. You know, he said, you know, your kid is talking to God. Kid's done talking to God, and then you jump out and scare the bejesus out of him, right? I said bejesus. For those, you know, that might take offense to such things. But anyway, Mr. Weintraub, when we come back on the other side, we are going to switch gears and talk to Eric Adelson. A little bit more serious, the conversation.
He might scare his kids, too, for Halloween. You never know.
No, that doesn't sound like an EA thing to me. I think I might be alone on an island with that one. But definitely, we will see how his Halloweens go. We will ask about that last week in college football. Certainly, what he thought of Michigan. A lot more to come here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, Cumulus.